Hi there. My name is Ishmael Ozan, and many of you know me as the Dane County District Attorney, but I am also a husband and a father of two young girls. Today, I am asking you to make the choice my wife and I made to not use physical punishment with our children. Many of us are not aware that over 16 years ago, the American Academy of Pediatrics urged doctors to recommend that parents not use physical punishment on their children. Today, over 100 years of research on children and families supports this recommendation. Look, well-meaning parents may use physical discipline intending to teach their children to make good choices, but we now know that physical discipline actually leads to more disobedience and aggressive behaviors in children. We all want what is best for our kids. Today, we now know what is best for kids is parenting based on respect, mutual understanding, and logic, rather than fear of physical pain. Please join me in learning more about positive parenting and creating a violence-free home.
Paid for by the Dane County District Attorney's Office with support from UW Health American Family Children's Hospital.
Welcome to another podcast. It's liesoffice.com. We're live at the South Central Federation of Labor, LaborFest 2017, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. Also, Madison Teamsters Local 695 and the Madison Teachers Incorporated. And last but not least, Madison Firefighters Local 311. Joining us right now, Ted Higgins, who, of course, you've heard the bagpipe played so many times on my shows over the years. He is now Secretary and Treasurer of Madison Firefighters Local 311. Brother, thanks for coming out and happy Labor Day.
Thanks for having us. Happy Labor Day to you.
All right. What does Labor Day mean to you as you're out here?
Labor Day means to us, this is a time, I think, for all of organized labor to get together. And for me, it's more of reminding of what our roots were and how we got to where we are today. And if it wasn't for the sacrifice and literally workers laying down their lives to fight the injustices of corporations who were not out for their best interests. And had it not been for our forefathers in the labor movement, we wouldn't have what we have today. And now we're the fighters trying to hang on to what they fought for and obtained for us. And so our job now as labor leaders is to hang on to that and to roll back some of those changes in Wisconsin, unfortunately, that go against labor.
And we're lucky to live in a community that supports labor. Some communities don't understand the value. So Madison Firefighters, Madison Teachers are able to, you do have collective bargaining rights. They don't, but because they've got a good handbook, they're able to survive. But still, firefighters took a hit from Act 10, didn't they?
Oh, we absolutely did. Yeah. What a lot of people don't know is we were able to retain the right to collectively bargain, but we cannot bargain over things such as health care anymore, which is everybody knows is such a huge part of your overall compensation. Wisconsin Act 32, which not a lot of people maybe know about, it wasn't as popular as Act 10, but it rolled away our ability to bargain health care plan and design. And that's some municipalities are using that as leverage now. To firefighters and police officers across Wisconsin to say, when you're sitting down at the table bargaining everything else that is permissive subject to bargaining, to use that against them, the health care portion, which is a prohibitive subject
right.
to bargaining. So that's a way that that huge aspect of our compensation is being leveraged against us right now. And so
and there are some fire departments that have taken a huge hit because
huge
of
hit. Huge
and look,
yeah.
you guys gave back a lot. Tell people what you gave back after Act 10.
We gave back. We took years' worth of 0% raises. We also agreed to pay historically the employees part of their pension contribution, which, by the way, just for history's sake here, currently in the paper, it said it everywhere. It just drove us nuts during 2011. You know, a lot of state employees and local municipalities, including firefighters, currently contribute nothing to their own pension, which is a bald-faced lie. We years ago gave up in lieu of wage increases. The cities came to us saying, hey, how about instead of a 2% raise this year or next year, we do your employee share of the contribution. That decreased their payroll tax liability. It was a benefit for them. That's why they came to us with it. We accepted it. So in lieu of raises,
you want to explain that one to Greg Newman, because I don't think he understands still, or Mike Goucher,
well,
or any of the other people.
We tried, and that drove me nuts. And we wrote letters to the editors of news outlets that we could find, but it never really resonated. And these are things that that messaging stuck with people, resonated with even people that might be labor friendly, quote unquote. I pay into my 401k. I don't know why all these public servants don't. Well, the fact is we did. And so now, effectively, now we're paying twice. So you ask what we've given up. We gave up wages after the financial collapse, which we had nothing to do with. We've given up our pension contribution, a huge percentage. It was 6.2% of our salary. Gave up all those wage increases to offset that. So we have given up a lot post Act 10 and the environment that we're currently in. And so we've all taken a hit. All of organized labor has.
How is it, do the younger firefighters and paramedics on the force, are they made aware of the mission?
They are. We try to do a very good job of outreach to our younger members and let them know the history of our contract, where we ended up, and then the history of the labor movement. You'll see here today we have a number of firefighters, newer firefighters and their families here today, and I think the status of our union is very strong. Our union is growing, and I see nothing but a good future in our activism in Local 311.
There's one firefighter, one coming in that I want you to take some extra special time to work on, okay?
Right, we talked about that.
Yeah. If you could work on that, I'd appreciate that. So when it comes to upcoming negotiations with the city, how does it work now?
So we are negotiating our next contract for 2018 and beyond. We don't know the terms yet. The cops... We work in cahoots with the police department and...
Cahoots in a good way.
In a good way.
Yeah, cahoots in a good way.
We do, because we want what's best for everybody. And we want what's best for public safety. We want actually what's best for all employees, whether represented or not now because of Act 10. And so we have those negotiations coming up this fall. We're optimistic, and like we always are. And I'll tell you one thing. We never ask for anything more than we think is fair and justified, and we don't ask for off-the-wall things or sweet deals or anything. We just want basic respect at the bargaining table to talk about language, about safety concerns, and wages, just basic wages, hours, and working conditions, and nothing excessive. So,
for people that don't understand pensions and don't understand why firefighters don't work till they're 75 years old, can you explain that to people?
Right. Yeah, so I think if put it anecdotally, if your house was on fire and you were trapped on a second floor with your family...
It's a little hard for my house to be on fire, right?
Sure, your last run home. But would you want, a bunch of firefighters between the ages of 21 and 45 coming to your house, or would you want four guys that were 64 getting off that rig and working their way over? So, yeah, it's very demanding on your body, and the lack of sleep deprivation, basically, as we're finding out now, is leading to
attacks.
A lot of heart attacks, type 2 diabetes, emotional strain, and so, yeah, it's a good thing that police and firemen can retire a little bit earlier, yeah.
And because you're a paramedic, you've told me that sometimes all it takes is one heartbeat. It stops.
One weird heartbeat one time could be a very bad day for you. The good thing is if it happens within the city of Madison or in the surrounding areas, you're going to have members of Local 311 going to be there in a short amount of time to make you better and take you to definitive care, and that's what... you're lucky to have good health care and good emergency services here in Dane County.
And how much, yes, but also, you're trained in a way that I know might seem a little obtuse or esoteric. I don't know. I don't know what word I'm looking for here. But the firefighters are trained to, in some respects, be really good humans when people are having the worst day of their life. You know, the day we had to call the rescue squad and my mother went into cardiac arrest and died, and she was 89, so it wasn't a complete shock, but it's still extremely difficult. The care and kindness those firefighters show.
That is correct. That is the X factor of this job is just, and that's the reason we got into it. You don't become a firefighter or a police officer or a paramedic to become a rich person. That's just never going to happen. You do it because in the end you're risking a lot to save lives and to be compassionate to people on the worst days of their lives. So every day we go to work, we go out the door, and that's somebody's worst day of their lives multiple times over that we're a part of. And it may be the very first and the very last time they ever call 911. So that's our only interaction with them. And we try to be as caring and compassionate as we can because we're all humans and we've all been there. We have loved ones and we've been in the same predicament. So it's not unheard of for a Madison firefighter or paramedic to even give you a hug, the loved ones a hug at the scene and comfort them through a horrible situation. And that is part of the
job. They hugged my sister. They sure did.
Right.
And that's actually something that's tested for job applicants, isn't it?
That is correct. We try to screen. The city does a good job of trying to screen for members that are going
screen
to
screen out meatheads.
Right. You have to have that caring, compassion component to why you're serving. And that's certainly something we try to weed out and get people who understand people and can interact with people in a really human way.
Listen, thank you for you and Kevin Sherry and Malin Mitchell and all the people from Local 311 and your support for SliceOffice.com.
You bet. You've always been here for us, and we're going to be here for you.
All right, thank you. Ted Higgins, Secretary and Treasurer of Madison Firefighters Local 311, one of the sponsors for Labor Fest 2017, as well as the United Steelworkers, the Teamsters, Local 695, Madison Teachers Incorporated, and, of course, as I said, the United Steelworkers. This is SliceOffice.com from Labor Fest 2017.
SliceOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Making stuff matters, because when we make things in America, America makes it. American workers and families make it. Our communities make it. Consider this. For every one manufacturing job in our communities, 5 more jobs are supported. Manufacturing jobs pay an average of 10 to 50% more than service sector jobs. That allows working families to support their local businesses, schools, emergency services, and more. Creating 2.5 million new manufacturing jobs would mean at least $100 billion for our economy over the next decade. Domestic manufacturing is the green economy. It's among the cleanest, most efficient, and productive in the world. That's why the United Steelworkers and our more than 1 million members and retirees are fighting so hard to protect and grow manufacturing. Because making stuff really does matter. Join our fight. Visit usw.org and like us at facebook.com/steelworkers. Support American manufacturing. Buy American. Buy Union.